Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so glad that you have joined me today. Hey, we're back. Been off for about a week and a day, but here we are back on this Tuesday morning, and we're going to pick up on our study of the book of Acts, which really is a study of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, because the earliest the earliest Greek manuscripts only have the word Acts as a title. Now, probably in your Bible, as in mine, it will say the Acts of the Apostles. However, of the Apostles has been added by the translators, thinking that would give more clarity. I don't think it does, because it's really not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So, as we journey through the book of Acts, we'll be talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. And we're in Acts chapter 2, and the thing that I want to emphasize today is the relationship of the coming of the Holy Spirit with the ascension of Jesus into the heavens at the right hand of God. The two are tied together in Scripture. The coming of the Holy Spirit was linked to Jesus being raised from the dead and ascending to the right hand of God. John mentions this in John 7:37, where Jesus made a statement one day. He cried out to the people and he said, "Whoever is thirsty, let him," and that includes her, "come to me and drink. Whoever believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now, this is John, the Gospel of John, quoting Jesus. Then John comments on what Jesus said. John says, "But this he spake concerning the Holy Spirit, which those believing on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified." He said he was talking about those who would believe, who would receive the Holy Spirit. But he said at that time, which was before the crucifixion, John said that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The word glorified refers to his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of God. So it was when Jesus ascended into the heavens and sat down at the right hand of God that then he poured forth and sent forth the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus also mentions this in John chapter 16. Listen to this. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you," this is John 16:7, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper," King James says comforter, the New King James says helper, the Greek word is parakletos, "the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." So the ascension of Jesus brought about the descension of the Holy Spirit that came here to take his place with his disciples. Now, here in Acts chapter 2, Peter makes a reference to this when he is preaching on the day of, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he quotes a scripture that was a Old Testament prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus. This is Psalm chapter. Let me see if I can locate that exact reference. I believe it is, I believe it's Psalm chapter 16, and it would be verses 8 through 11. And Peter is quoting here in Acts chapter 2, verse 27. He quotes this. He says, "For you," this is what the psalmist, what David wrote, "for you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Now, the Old Testament Hebrew word that in the New Testament is translated Hades or hell would have been Sheol. It was the place of the dead. And so David says, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol. You'll not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Now, corruption has to do with the physical, with the physical and decay and corruption that sets in on a dead body. So this is obviously a messianic prophecy where this is not going to happen. You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And so Peter quotes this in his sermon. And let me just read and we'll comment on this. This is very important. He says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today." In other words, David, his body saw corruption. His body had decayed and returned to dust, and his tomb was there. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ," or the Messiah, "to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus," so Peter's making the point, "this Jesus whom God has raised from the dead," he has fulfilled this prophecy. "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." What were they seeing and hearing? They were hearing these Galileans, many of them uneducated Galileans, speaking, praising God in all kinds of foreign languages. Yeah, this was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know what other kind of manifestations there may have been that day. They were accused of being drunk. But nonetheless, there were things that people were seeing and hearing, and they were wondering what was going on. And so Peter is saying, this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. God has raised Jesus, the Messiah, from the dead. Now he has been glorified. He's raised up and he's seated at the right hand of God. And he has poured forth this, which you now see and hear. In other words, as far as Peter was concerned, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit were evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God on his heavenly throne. Now, we must always, here's something, this is what I want to leave you with. Always remember that the Holy Spirit has an ultimate goal and purpose, and it is to glorify Jesus. It's to point people to Jesus, who has accomplished redemption for the human race, for all who will put their faith in him. And he is now seated at the right hand of God with all authority in heaven and earth. So the ultimate goal of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus. And so that's why he came. And we also see, to point people to Jesus, well, it overlaps. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Now, there are many benefits, side benefits, blessings of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. He brings joy. Sometimes there are manifestations of healing and power, and there sometimes there can be, I've experienced laughter in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit brings such joy. But all of these things are byproducts. They are not the main goal of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the modern church, especially the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, has to be careful of. I've seen this happen in my lifetime. Genuine outpourings of the Holy Spirit, God's blessing, and people, even the leaders, they got the idea that this is why the Holy Spirit has come, just to make us happy, to make us feel good. And so they were talking about, they would even advertise their meetings, "We're going to have a Holy Ghost party tonight," and so on. Oh, my friends, what a distortion. You see, it's turned inward. No, there will be some byproducts, but never think that those are the end goal, the purpose. No, the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus at the right hand of the Father and to empower us to be his witnesses. We must keep our vision turned outward to the world for the purpose of being witnesses to this world, and to keep our eyes upward on Jesus as we run the race He has set before us. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. And check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. I just published a blog today that I think will be a blessing to you. And if you go to my website, the homepage, and look over to the right, down towards the bottom, you will see a link to my blog. I called it America's Pro-Jewish Founding Fathers. Wow, I'm amazed at some of the things that I discovered that are in this article about the pro-Israeli. Of course, Israel was not a nation at that time, at the founding of America, but America's pro-Jewish founding fathers, I think, will be a blessing to you. And if Sue and I can be a blessing to you in a way, let us know, and I'll look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.